Fargo-Moorhead area is all a Twitter and all a buzz about the mighty North Dakota State Bison, who beat Kansas State last week and are playing Little Sisters of the Poor tomorrow from Michigan. But keep in mind, folks, that this weekend is the opening weekend, the main opening weekend of the National Football League season. In fact, the NFL season kicked off last night, as we said earlier, with Peyton Manning and the Broncos crushing Joe Flacco and the Baltimore Ravens. So keep in mind that the Viking season is also a bit large around here. And to talk about the Vikings opener, to talk about the Viking season, and to find out why the Vikings did not pursue Peyton Manning a couple of years ago when he was available, let's bring in John Krasinski. He's an Associated Press writer based in Minneapolis who covers the Minnesota Vikings. Hello, John Krasinski. How are you?
Good, Mike. How's it going up there?
You know what? It's all about the Bison up here, John. I'm sure you might have heard in Minneapolis that they beat Kansas State last Friday. So people are really
excited. I have heard. Yeah, my wife is an NDSU alum, and so she's not even a big sports fan. But when she heard about that, she even got excited and broke out her Bison gear. So it's definitely big in our whole household as well.
Fantastic. Let me ask you this, and I preface this when I introduced you, but I can't remember, did the Vikings pursue Peyton Manning at all a couple of years ago when he was available after he got his neck hurt playing for the Colts? Did the Vikes make any effort to get him at all?
No, they didn't. And I think at the time when they were looking at him, they had just got through the Brett Favre saga, and all of the talk at that point was, the Vikings need to find their guy who is going to be here for the long term, someone who they develop and is a Viking through and through, and they're tired of all these retread quarterbacks and everything like that. And so there really, I don't think, was a whole lot of attention paid or effort made in that area. Now, if they would have gone after him, could they have got him with, you know, saying, hey, we have Adrian Peterson and a few other things, maybe. I still think John Elway has a special connection with Peyton, but clearly at that point they had decided to go forward, draft their own quarterback, develop him, and find their guy.
That doesn't satisfy me very much.
I mean, the guy throws 7 touchdowns, and yeah, of course, Christian Ponder might not do that all year. It's easy to look back on that, but I think the other thing to remember is that Manning was coming off a severe neck injury.
Oh, yeah, no, I know.
And, you know, there was a lot of question about what he had left. Now, clearly a guy of his caliber, with his history, his reputation, his accomplishments, would certainly have been a better option than any quarterback you could have taken in that draft. I think that now that Ponder has struggled and hasn't been able to kind of get a firm grip on this job, it only magnifies the discrepancy between the two. But I think Peyton surprised everyone last year with the season that he had. And now certainly, I mean, last night was unbelievable.
Yeah, it was good. Speaking of Ponder, speaking of the Vikings starting quarterback, you say, I think rightly so, that he does not have a firm grip on this job yet or on doing the job of an NFL quarterback. Is he the biggest question going into the Vikings opener on Sunday against the Lions at noon? Is that the biggest question mark surrounding the Vikings, or are there other bigger ones that we just don't talk about?
Well, no, I mean, he's definitely the biggest. If you were to put a list of question marks or weaknesses going into the season, quarterback would certainly be at the top. I mean, he certainly didn't do anything in the preseason to make anyone think, okay, the light bulb's coming on. We see some signs that he's going to be all right. Now, it very well could be that once the bright lights come on and once everything gets flowing and he has Adrian Peterson behind him, everything is going to be fine and things are going to look different for him. But what you saw in the preseason was still a guy that seemed kind of unsure of himself, that seemed to be rushing things in the pocket. He had some happy feet. Watching him in practice, he didn't look particularly accurate with the ball and decisive in where he was going with it. So I just haven't seen signs that would say, you know what, this guy is really getting it now in year 3 and the game is slowing down for him and he's ready to take off. The Vikings believe that. Rick Spielman certainly believes that. Leslie Frazier believes it. I think the objective observer is having trouble coming up with that. Now, they still do have other questions. I think cornerback depth is another huge concern for them. Their linebacker play is going to be interesting as well, but far and away, I think the number one concern is starting quarterback Christian Ponder.
Is Adrian Peterson going to be that big of a security blanket for Ponder? Because Peterson didn't play, he played what, three plays, never carried the ball in the preseason. And that's, I don't have a problem with Frazier doing that. Those games don't matter. Keep Peterson fresh for the regular season. He'll be fine. He knows what he's doing. But, you know, kind of the theory among some Vikings fans and even some media, John, as you know, is, well, once Peterson goes in the backfield and carries the ball 20 times a game, that's going to make Ponder that much better of a quarterback because he can relax and he can do the job knowing that he has that big old Linus Van Pelt security blanket behind him that he didn't have in the preseason. Can he turn his game around that much from looking as bad as he did in the preseason to being serviceable in the regular season just because of Peterson?
Well, I do think he has that a very large impact on what the Vikings are doing and how opposing defenses approach attacking the Vikings offense. I mean, you saw last year the effect that he had. I mean, Ponder at times and at the start of the season and certainly the last four games of the regular season before he got hurt looked like a quarterback that wasn't going to get you beat, at least that you could play on a playoff caliber team and could help you. In some respects, maybe he's not going to throw for 407 touchdowns to win a game for you, but he did have the capability of at least managing a game, moving the chains and keeping an offense in it. Now, in the preseason, without Peterson back there, the defense has had nothing to lose by just sending everyone to blitz Ponder, to force him to rush passes, and then also to give their guys an extra defender in the defensive backfield to kind of watch the receivers as well. So having Peterson back there will certainly keep everyone's eye on 28. They won't be able to sell out on blitzes as hard as they did in the preseason because if Peterson gets past that first line, he's gone. And they won't be able to double team every receiver out there because they're going to have to keep linebackers looking toward the backfield for handoffs or swing passes to Peterson. So I really do think that he is that large of a talent that he can change things dramatically. Now, it's going to be up to Christian Ponder to take advantage of the opportunities that are given him by Peterson, and we still don't know if he is capable of doing that just yet.
John Krasinski of the Associated Press, our guest on the Mike McFeely Show. He covers the Minnesota Vikings, among other things, in the Minneapolis market for the world's largest news gathering organization. The thing that bugs me about Ponder, and I just can't get off Christian Ponder yet, is that something you mentioned earlier, John, that he just seems to have the dancy happy feet. He seems to really want to get out of the pocket as quick as he possibly can at the first sign of pressure. And you can say what you want about Brett Favre. You can say what you want about a lot of other quarterbacks, both good and bad. But one thing that I think is true is that unless you're willing to hang in there and take a shot and get hit, sometimes a lot during an NFL football game, you're never going to be that guy. You're never going to be the star because once in a while, as bad as it sucks, you got to get drilled by a linebacker, by a defensive end, and pay the price to complete a pass.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more, Mike. I mean, just watching him in the preseason, the biggest thing that stuck out to me is as he's preparing for year three now, he's done this. He's been a starting quarterback for a full season, really almost a season and a half now. You would hope that if he was going to develop into your franchise quarterback, that the game would start slowing down for him, that he would be able to go back there, calmly stand in the pocket, maybe slide step a few steps to his left or his right to move the pocket a little bit and create him a little bit more time, and then make his decisions and throw down the field. That's what the great quarterbacks do. You know, the Rodgers, Brady, Manning, Breeze, all those guys, they're able to get back there and they look like they're moving slowly and making their decisions, but they're just in reality, just more calm and confident in what they're doing. They can anticipate where the rush is coming and then they get the ball away with no harm done. Now, what I still see with Christian Ponder is, the game still seems really, really fast for him. It seems like he is moving at warp speed all the time, and that tells me that he's kind of overthinking things still. He's still a little bit unsure of where the pressure is coming from and where the holes are to get away from that and where to go with the ball against certain blitzes, against certain coverages that he's seeing. And everything just seems to be a little bit manic. And that's why I say I'm still not convinced that he has this this thing down yet. And what I think everyone wants to see more of from him is just the calmness, just a sense of assuredness in the pocket and all of that. And to just make it look like he's got a handle on the game and the game isn't too fast for him. And right now, it just doesn't look that way.
What's going to happen on Sunday? If you had your crystal ball out and was looking into it, what do you expect from the Lions? And are the Vikings going to win this football game?
Yeah, I've been looking at that thing all week, and it's awfully cloudy. you know, you look at what I think that the natural inclination is that the Lions have a high-powered passing attack against a defensive backfield in Minnesota that has some question marks. First game of the year, Vikings on the road, all of that going in the Lions' favor. But it does seem that Detroit always finds a way to screw things up against the Vikings. They always seem to stub their toe, not play well, make a big mistake, and then the Vikings are able to come out with a win, both at home and on the road. So I really do think it's going to be nip and tuck. I think it's going to be sort of high scoring, maybe, you know, in that 28-21, 31-24 type of a mold. And I would not be surprised to see the Vikings squeak out of there with a win. Now, if you held a gun to my head, I'd probably say that Matthew Stafford and Calvin Johnson make enough plays just to beat them. But really, I think this division from top to bottom is so tightly packed that that you know, really anything can happen depending on just the way a ball bounces one way or the other in some of these games. So, you know, I'd probably say I think the Lions are going to win, but the Vikings could easily go in there and steal one.
All right, man. As always, good stuff. Thanks for coming on. Need to see you soon and catch up a little bit, okay?
Absolutely. Looking forward to it, Mike. Thanks for having me.
You bet. John Krasinski, Associated Press, Minneapolis, former summer intern at the Forum in Fargo when I was there. That's how I know John. He's done a great job the last 10 years or so.